Hola, welcome to the For Your Reference Casa. And Oti is our El Profesor with your phrase, oh mine.
All right, so I've decided to go African again.
Oh no. Your African proverbs always seem to be more mysterious.
All right, so here it goes. When a man goes alone to scrap bark from a tree, it falls to the ground.
Okay, that's quite literal.
Oh, tell me.
It's quite self-explanatory. Well, I guess when you're trying to do something on your own, it's just all going to fall apart.
Yeah, kind of. It actually does mean that do not refuse help when you need it.
But in your proverb, no one was helping him.
It's just a matter of saying, like, mate, do not refuse help.
Yeah, and no one's going to help you on this phrase, apparently. Well, get excited, guys. Grab your red overalls and your masks, your Dali masks, because we are getting into
La Casa de Papel.
Hola, friends and Spanish lovers. Welcome to For Your Reference. You've got your host, Katie.
And OT.
And we are covering, again, La Casa de Papel, part 3.
Mm-hmm.
And El Profesor has told me that if you haven't listened to our episode of part 1 and part 2, you needs to go and do that.
Oh, for sure.
And then come on back because we're going to have a good time. But as far as I understand, La Casa de Papel means spoilers in English, right?
Yep.
Did you know, OT, that we actually have one dedicated listener from Spain?
Oh, I didn't know that.
We don't know who you are, but hola, here's your shout out. I feel like it is El Profesor. We are ready for our mission. So come out and, you know.
I'm ready to receive everything after they've done their mission.
You're just wide
just,
open.
Just give me my share. I don't really need to be in there, do I?
You just need to suck and fuck everything.
Yep.
And welcome. If this is your first episode, welcome.
Boom, boom, ciao.
Right?
Yep.
We're a topical bunch in this podcast. Welcome. Again, if you haven't listened to our previous episode that we did in March covering part 1 and part 2, please go and listen to that because we will solely be focusing on part 3 because hot doggy, we've got a lot to cover today.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely got a lot to cover today. And I think they're gone. Are they gone, OT? Have you used your powers?
Yep, they're gone.
You've used your clue? To move them away?
I have.
And what a great clue it is. Let's dive straight into it. La Casa de Papel, otherwise known as Money Heist, part 3.
Mm-hmm.
What a series.
What a show.
Shout out to Alex Pena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Pena. Feel free to... Oh, you want to correct me now? Okay,
no,
good
just
on
saying.
Ya.
It's all right.
Yeah, no worries. Good on ya. Jog on. Oh, wow. What a series. Let's start off with first impressions. As we know, part 1 and part 2 of Money Heist or La Casa de Papel was literally all that was encapsulated in the show.
Mm.
And I actually would have been happy with it. But then it got acquired by Netflix. And as we know, it's going to pump out some more seasons.
Yep.
Just like Black Mirror.
Yep.
Right? Let's talk about first impressions. How did you feel watching the 8-episode stint? I don't think we've gotten any sleep.
I really enjoyed it. I was really hyped up watching it. And I think 16 minutes in and... The action had already started. We'd reached D-Day. And they'd already set quite a high tempo already. And I felt as if it would drop off during the run of the show, but it didn't.
Because there was no need to know. We understood that they were in their designated places. We didn't need to see them enjoying their millions, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite great that they just jumped straight into it 16 minutes in.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about a short series, like an 8-10 episode show. You really just get to focus on the storyline.
It trims the fat.
Yeah.
Essentially. So maybe we need to do a limited series so it can trim our fat. But that's a story. That's a story for another day.
Hmm.
Right. But yeah, coming off my first impressions for La Casa de Papel, you know, if this is your first time listening to For Your Reference, welcome. But for a few of you guys that have listened to a few of our episodes, you will know that I am not a fan of milking things for all it's worth. Right. And you know, if the story doesn't need to be told, let's not tell it. And, you know, overall, part three, I thought it was quite good. It did have some moments where the story stopped momentum and it kind of slowed down, but I didn't feel like it was onerous.
No,
in any way.
It didn't feel onerous to me at all.
But what fucked me up was I didn't, and I try not to, like, cause like when I get so excited about shows, I try not to research too much into it cause I can get a bit crazy aside from my normal crazy, right? But I tried not to look into it and it wasn't clear to me that part three was not the end. For some reason, I just assumed that part three would be the end of it. But again, spoiler, this is Netflix. So obviously there's going to be more.
But yeah, I foolishly was in the same boat with you as well. I just expected this to be the last season.
But really, like for me personally, watching the series up to episode 7, I really felt like everything was fine. When it got to episode 8, that's when everything started to crumble and it just fucked me up. I can't even think of a show that has messed me up this much.
Because
I wasn't expecting it. Yeah. I was expecting everything to be tied off quite nicely.
Yeah, me too.
Just like this podcast, everything was loose. Just wow. You know, it had some, you know, symbolism in regards to, you know, the Dali crew or Dali.
All right, Pitbull, calm down.
I promised you I wouldn't mention him, but he's my best friend, Mr. 305. No, but you had the followers, right, calling themselves the Dalis. And, you know, it's probably not real life, but they were talking about inside of the show. In Rio de Janeiro, they were using the jumpsuits and also the Dali masks to, you know, fight the powers that be. So that was quite a nice, you know, sort of point. And, you know, in this day and age, who doesn't love a meta reference?
True.
Right? Even if it isn't grounded in reality. That was quite nice to have. I just want to spend some time talking about Aikido, which because we are learned people, we learned it through this show, about the Japanese, I'm sure it's a military tactic.
Yep.
Where you use the opponent's power against them. Right. The only thing that didn't really sit well with me is because we're talking about, you know, these guys being a symbol of hope, but they kind of use these followers as a smokescreen, if you'll pardon the sad pun, in order for them to carry out the plan. And I feel like that was a bit off brand.
No, it wasn't. They were called there to protest against injustice.
And the injustice was happening to them because the smoke bombs were going to them.
What do you expect on a protest? They've got to try and get you to leave. And if you don't, they'll throw tear gas or whatever.
Have you never heard of mob psychology?
All I'm saying
is, or a shared psychosis. See, OT is that person that like really, you know, eggs you on and really like cheers you on. But when it comes to like, when it comes to D-Day, he is running for the hills. Right?
Well, it takes a... Well, all I'm saying is I've been to my fair share of protests and you do know that you go there expecting something.
So you light the fires and you run away.
Not that I run away, just that I'm aware of what's going to happen and I remove myself from such a situation. So I'm quite clever that way. Thank you very much.
Hey, if we want to talk about your clue and how low it swings, we can get into it, babe. We can get straight into it. But let's leave first impressions because we have a lot of characters to cover.
We do.
And let's start off with your best friend, not my best friend.
Arturo? Oh, okay. Jumped the gun for a bit.
We do. Actually, before we even dive into the characters, because you mentioned Arturo, he actually looks quite nice.
He does, doesn't he?
He looks quite great.
Yeah.
So shout out.
There's a GQ model up in there.
Right? Shout out to Arturo because this was shot, well, it probably would have been shot in 2016, but wow, 2 years make a motherfucking difference.
Mm.
Wait 2 years and we'll look like supermodels if that's the Arturo formula. But let's get into it. El Profesor.
Mm.
So where did we leave him off in part two? We recently found out, again, if you've never watched La Casa de Papel, we love you guys. Go and listen to like Daddy Wood or John Wick or Archer or any other sort of episode. But this is for the La Casa de Papel fans, right? So talking about El Profesor, at the end of part two, we found out that Berlin is his brother, which really heightened the death of Berlin at the end of part two. And as we start to uncover, because, you know, they have varying timelines in La Casa de Papel part three, which I didn't feel was onerous, but we can talk about that in a second, right? But for 2 years, he has been struggling with the fact that his brother died at his action, or I would argue inaction. Let's leave it.
Yeah.
Let's leave it.
Don't agree with you there, but yeah, let's continue.
Wow. Is this the first time you've disagreed with me?
I think it might be.
Everyone knows that's a motherfucking lie. But yes, so we find out that Berlin is his brother and Berlin dies. Also shout out to Moscow because Moscow also dies and Oslo also dies in part one and part two.
Mm.
So let's pour some sip on the concrete for them. So El Profesor is feeling a certain way. To be perfectly honest, I do feel like it's ego driven.
No.
Let me finish.
Mm.
Let me finish. It's all ego driven because all throughout part three, he keeps talking about it was a perfect plan. Motherfucker, you put your fingerprints on a police car. That is not a perfect plan. You let Angel follow you into your motherfucking cidery. That was not a perfect plan. And we're not going to get to anything today if we keep talking about whether he is a genius or not. Let's just agree that he's not a genius.
He is a genius.
Oh, wow.
It takes a very special kind of person to see how everything, to simulate all the scenarios and see where the chips will lay down afterwards. Yes,
it does take a special person and we're still waiting for him. Ooh, apply a cold compress to that burn,
wow.
Babe.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Far out.
Do you want to fight?
You know, it's like you're blaming Michael Scofield for people dying after they escaped prison. There's nothing you could do.
I don't think I'd blame Michael Scofield though.
I'm saying it's like.
Simile? Not a metaphor.
Just comparing the situations, mate. Because you have the professor trying to do everything he can to get everyone safely after having robbed the Royal Mint, which he did successfully. Aside from some stupid characters, which we'll get to later.
Uh-huh.
Everything was executed perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has to
come back. But we need to move on.
So now he's been put in a situation where he has to come up with a plan or
a situation of his own doing.
How did he do that? How did he cause it?
I will not sit quietly while injustice unfolds on this podcast. Not in mine household.
Oh, you want to get your Dali mask now?
Doesn't matter. Yes, actually. But I feel like when it comes to part three, you can't talk about El Profesor without bringing up Berlin. Hey girl, hey, it was nice to see him again. And also a new introduction to the cast, Palermo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't talk about El Profesor in part three without Berlin and Palermo.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that trio right now. So part three, starts off, the timeline jumps to 3 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's where we see, and it's made quite clear that they were quite estranged for a while. Mm. But we have El Profesor relinking with Berlin, mm-hmm. right? And then he takes him back to his, it's not a monastery, but it has a lot of like clergymen or
no,
religious.
It is a monastery. Is You're it? Right. Yeah.
Oh, good on ya. Doubt yourself once, right? But he goes into a monastery, and that's where we meet Palermo for the first time, right? And I know I fucking love Berlin, so that probably was influencing me saying that Palermo had a boner for him. But spoiler alert, all the boners.
It was quite evident that he had feelings for him, and I thought they were a couple until Berlin started talking about Tatiana. I was like, well, what the fuck? What is this?
Is
this?
Tatiana is such a sexy name.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I see your web history. I know how this works. But, you know, as things start to unfold, we see, so Berlin and Palermo were cooking up the possibility of robbing the Bank of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's initially how it started. The fact that we end up at La Casa de Papel, we start to see that permeate out because essentially El Profesor says that it's improbable, but it's possible. Yeah. Or the other way around. Fight me, guys, fight me, right? But that's why they end up going to La Casa de Papel.
To roll mint, you mean?
Yeah, La Casa de Papel.
Money heist.
Yeah, the house of paper. La Casa de Papel.
Yeah.
Shout outs to everyone else that has podcasts because being the only cultured one on For Your Reference, it's a pain I have to bear every week. And I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry, but we will lift the culture.
No, I just didn't think we'd be doing literal translations. That's all. I was kind of thinking on a different level, mate.
Do we seem like a tentative bunch? No. So you recant that. You redact that from our history, right? So let's go back. We're talking about La Casa de Papel. So it, as hazy as it was in part one and part two, they relatively executed it successfully, aside from Tokyo, and we'll come to her, right, in a second. But they were able to successfully leave with pretty much as much or even more because Nairobi did quite a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And they left to their respective destinations that only the El Profesor knew. So once they successfully made it out and they were into international waters, they were assigned their designated places of paradise.
Yep.
If you will. Right? And they were all living nice and dandy.
And they're all paired up, by the way, as well.
Yes, correct. And they were all living nice and dandy until Tokyo came along, but we're not talking about her.
Yeah.
Right? And we're not talking about her right now. But Palermo, wow, just he is an all-encompassing character. Is there anything else you want to say about El Profesor before we move on?
No, he's just an amazing character. He gives me Michael Scofield vibes and I can't argue with that.
I apologize to Wentworth Miller. How dare you? How dare you besmirch him in our household?
He does.
The only other thing I will say about El Profesor in regards to an exchange that he had with Palermo was, you know, it's refreshing to come across characters that aren't drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, part of the crew that sees shit for what it is. And Palermo did, and I feel like warranted. You know, it's arguable. He blamed El Profesor for Berlin dying, right? Even though it was made clear that Berlin was happy to die because he was dying anyway. So why not go out in a blaze of glory? So let's leave that to the second. But Palermo did say something that was quite poignant and you could see that it affected El Profesor because he said, why do you never get yourself involved? Because you're a fucking coward. When did El Profesor ever get inside of La Casa de Papel?
He never went in there. How would he coordinate everything?
Hang on a second. And he never learned anything even from that. So when they went to infiltrate the Bank of Spain, he also decided not to be near them. And you can't tell me that how can he orchestrate that? Spartan kings were at the the front line.
And look, where are they now?
Are you serious?
Mate, all killed.
Zack Snyder, we are coming for you, and we will be covering 300 very shortly. Because if you've listened to our recent collaboration, Gerard Butler was on our undoing, OT specifically. Really?
They're all killed, mate. It's nothing to hold them in self-esteem.
Everyone dies.
Everyone Spoiler dies. Alert. It's just a matter of utilizing the pawns to get the job done.
We're not going to get anywhere. Let's move on. Let's talk about Palermo. Palermo.
No.
Let the money heist take you over, no. Palermo. Spanish words. I don't know.
Very cultured you are.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so like we said, we were introduced to him in the monastery and you could tell that he had feelings for Balin and he was quite depressed because it took 3 years before the professor went to see him trying to pull up the heist. So he's a straight shooter. He's covering his pain by displaying this macho bravado.
Did that bother you? When they had flashbacks of the crew finally coming together with new cities or new characters, which we'll talk about, did that bother you when he was talking about, you know, man on man love is real love?
Women, boom, boom, ciao.
Boom, boom, ciao. Women only do it out of procreation. How did you feel about that as a man? If you weren't aware, you're a man in 2019. How did you feel about that? Did you feel like it was toxic masculinity? What did you think?
I didn't take it from a point of it being toxic masculinity. I just took it as a person that's not really that comfortable displaying his emotions because he could tell he was quite hard.
He was very clear on displaying what he felt.
No, he was just speaking like that to not deal with the shit that he's feeling at the moment.
True. Hurt people.
Yeah.
And Palermo struck me as the person that he liked to say things for shock value. And he liked to get under people's skin.
He liked to push people's buttons. Yeah,
totally.
For sure.
And I don't really know if it was the intention for this part three, but I really felt like they made the women so easily triggered.
Yeah.
Like women had to prove that they're sexual beings. And I'm like, this wasn't really the tasting of this show.
Yeah, but don't talk about my pussy. Don't. Like, yeah, it was little like, things that...
Like, we're fighting the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And Palermo's like, I've got your patriarchy right here.
Yeah, I got that as well. I really did.
I really, you know, and just to defend you, I am a woman. In every sense of the word.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I can verify that. Yeah.
Objectively, scientifically.
Yeah. Always.
In every way. But I really didn't strike him as someone that was malicious.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he didn't come off as malicious at all.
No, he was just hurt and he didn't really know how to deal with stuff. But yeah, I think he just like ruffling feathers. And yeah, again, I didn't really appreciate how easily triggered the women were, but we've got a lot of stuff to cover. So we're really not going to go over that right now. But Palermo, it was refreshing because in part one and part two, no one said anything against Tokyo. Everyone indulged her. So you have Palermo, the ultimate commander. I say that because as much as I love Berlin, he was dying. So he was just feeding his own self-interest.
Yeah.
Right? Palermo was kind of like, do or die. This mission will be successful no matter what.
Yep.
Right? And when it came to Tokyo, he did not indulge her at all. Even when he had the glass in his eye, he was talking about her pussy. Like, he did not indulge her at all. And I really appreciated that because, you know, even not just Palermo, but you also have the new commander, right? So you have Raquel's old boss that has stress post-traumatic, and he needs to just get off the job, right? So you've got the new boss. I'm just going to call him the new boss, right?
Yeah.
And you also have Alicia as well, who kind of takes the negotiator role from Raquel. This series, if you're going... Hi, Netflix. If you're going to buy a show and you're going to reopen seasons, then you need to bolster it up in, you know, defenses that did not exist in the previous seasons, right? As much as I love Raquel, she was weak and she succumbed to El Profesor.
Anyone would.
Right?
Yeah.
Arguable. Just because you've got your boner waiting for him doesn't mean everyone else does.
Oh, I'm sure there are people out there knowing the true power of the professor.
And then you've also got Raquel's boss, right? And, you know, the new boss that has come in does not mince words, right? Until like the last couple of episodes, but we'll disregard that. He was like, no, I will not underestimate them. We are using all available force.
Yep.
Right? It was so refreshing to have that. So just to go back to Palermo, he was perfect. He was exactly what we needed from the show. Thank you so much for giving us Berlin, but they did need a leader. As much as I love Denver, and we're going to go to Denver, you needed someone in charge that was objective, that was able to carry the mission through.
Yeah.
And that was Palermo.
And Palermo did deliver. He was closest thing to Berlin that there was. To an extent, I think I would still prefer Berlin to lead the troops.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? And there was this part of me, even though we got him in flashbacks, there was a part of the dumb part of me that was hoping he'll just skip through the doors and we'll see him again.
Bye-bye, flashback, I'm here.
So let's carry on, because even in our first episode of Money Heist, I know that there were some characters that we wanted to go into detail and we ran out of time. So let's continue forward. Is Tokyo too triggering or can we get to her?
Man, she's the worst thing about this show. Let's start with her.
Right. So as OT mentioned, it only took 16 minutes for the action to unfold, right? And that's about as long as it took for me to realize how much I fucking hated Tokyo. No. I forgot how problematic
Tokyo
she was.
Less than bloody 16 minutes to fuck everything up.
Oh yeah, totally. She is the problem.
Yeah. And it's crazy. It's crazy that there was a typo. People, Netflix, you need to pay more attention to your subtitles. They said 2 years. They spent 2 years together with Rio.
There's no way. There's no way.
No way Tokyo spent 2 years in a beach with Rio.
No way.
More like 1 week? Days.
Yeah, two days, 1 week.
Yeah, pretty much.
But she, you know, and there's nothing wrong with someone that chases excitement. There's nothing wrong with someone that, you know, seeks a thrill, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But what she does is she overtly goes out of her way to manipulate people into this fantasy until she gets bored of them, right? And then she just tosses them aside.
Yep.
And that is dead wrong.
Emotions, feelings, be damned.
And as much as I want to dredge her name through the mud, we have so many more characters to go through. So from that particular point, just know Tokyo is trash.
Trash, trash, trash.
And, you know, there was a voiceover. I think it was after Tokyo encountered Rio in the bathroom after Rio said, I want to break up with you. And Denver was there as well. And she uncovered the secret that Denver and her were actually going to sleep together until Moscow came in. And he's like, this girl is trash. Stay away from her. Right. And after that scene, you have her monologuing saying, you know, every once in a while, something happens. And it comes out of nowhere. No, bitch, it was you. You are the unidentifiable element in this story.
Yeah.
She's a problem. She's a problem. But the fact that she narrates this show means she's not going anywhere. So we kind of just have to accept that.
It can be like a desperate housewife thing where the person narrating is was killed off in the first epi. So
spoiler.
mate, if you've not watched Desperate Housewives after a while, it's been what, 10 bloody years? I feel like it's been longer, but anyway.
I was too busy in my urethra. I would prefer that than Desperate Housewives, but there you go.
Anyway, yeah, Tokyo is such a problematic person. And the fact that when Rio broke up with her, she felt the need to also
hurt
make
him
hurt Rio.
In the worst, most painful way she could, she did.
Yeah.
And then she went and disrupted the people that were melting down the gold. No one needs to care about your agony.
Getting drunk in a mission where people have blood, their lives are on the line.
Yeah.
She has no consideration for anyone.
But she goes she's out selfish. Of her way to show people that she's in pain.
Man, she's the root cause of many people dying in this show. She's just not...
She took my joy away. That's what she did.
Yeah, just... I don't think I've ever hated a character as much as I hate Tokyo.
Asha from Spartacus?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome. Is there anything else you want to say about Tokyo?
No, pass. Let's just move forward.
Her butt looks great.
Yeah, she has a nice butt, yeah.
I feel like it's weird that we haven't seen her titties, but there you go.
I could live without that. We can move on, though.
We love all the titties. Natural titties, big swing low sweet chariot, hey girls, or, you know, not so natural titties. We love all the titties. But yeah, Tokyo is a problem. Titties or not, more like or not. But let's move on. Is there anyone you want to, I will let you choose. I think we might focus on the original cast just in case we run out of time, but I will let you choose, OT. Don't let me regret this.
Nairobi.
You said it.
Yep. Let's talk about Nairobi.
Let's talk about Nairobi. Wow. I don't know why I feel like I have to tell you spoilers, but episode 7, I was living my best life. I'm like, this is the best Friday night I've ever had, ever. And then episode 8 came around. You know, they started to plant the seed of her case file, right?
Mm.
And Alicia was looking through it and she saw the bedroom of her son. And that's where we start to see that she pinpointed that teddy bear, right? And she brought it in. And when Alicia said that there was a bomb in there, I thought the phone was like a detonator, you know, in classic, like 24.
Yeah.
You see, like, you know, the phone, as soon as it rings and you pick it up, it's going to blow up.
Yep.
Right. But they actually meant a human bomb. And that was super effective. In as heartbreaking as it was super effective because Alicia was able to get to the psychosis of Nairobi.
Yeah.
And you know what? The whole time we were watching part 3, I kept saying, hang on a second. Are we not going to address the fact that Nairobi has a whole child somewhere?
Yeah, you kept on mentioning it. I was like, yeah,
and no one
don't
mentioned
worry
it.
About
and I'm just
it.
Like, are they doing this for people that haven't watched part 1 and 2? Like, it actually makes no sense because, yeah, if you've got a kid somewhere and, you know, by your own volition, but the fact is your child has been taken away from you, are you really not feeling that pain and that anguish?
Well, the point is that she's been living with the pain all this time. She managed to escape.
I think it was more for the payoff.
Yeah, well, she did say that she felt bad and she agreed that this kid was happier or better off without her in her life.
Because you know what I thought? Because when we were watching it, I didn't realize that there was going to be a part 4. Right. So when we were watching part 3, I'm like, it's been 7 episodes. No one has died yet. Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking this to myself. I was like, no one has died yet. But, you know, probably there's going to be a bloodbath in episode 8. Right. This fucked me up because it corrects me if I'm wrong. Nairobi's the only one that died.
Yeah.
In this part.
Yeah.
That was dead wrong. I was not ready for that.
She is one of the strongest characters in this.
Her character development. Can we talk, motherfucker?
Let me say, if it wasn't for her background with the kid, because that's a weakness and that's the only reason why she cannot lead this gang.
Mm.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, she would be all over this.
Yeah.
She's strong.
But she's so talented and she's so smart.
And she can sniff bullshit out. And she knows how to deal with Tokyo.
Relative to the rest of the group, she is level-headed.
Yeah.
Not in a normal sense, but if you line up the team, she is one of the most level-headed characters, right?
Mm.
And you see how much value she brings into this group, right? Part one and part two, she was the OG, right? She was out there printing the money and, you know, she might have taken too long to stop the production of the money, but she got them. She milked every single dollar she could take out.
Yeah.
Right? And we see that again in part three, you know, into lovely, beautiful gold grains.
Mm.
Wow. And you know what? They really fucked me up because throughout all of part three, we'll talk about Denver, but I just want to contrast it, right? They kept talking about Denver and how he's a family man now. I really had my money on Denver dying this season.
Oh, I pinned Denver dying the next season.
And then when Nairobi died, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing to my one feeling?
Oh, especially when Denver walked out of the bank with the two cases.
Aww.
With the secrets. I was like, this is it. This is it. They're going to kill him. No, because
that happened quite early. I'm like, nah, this is too early to kill off one of our beloved characters.
Well, at the point I was thinking, this is the last season. They're just going to shoot him.
Actually, yeah.
Consequences be damned. Secrets being leaked. They don't care.
Rampage.
Exactly.
Listen to our Archer episode. Exactly, right? Because we... Maybe, I don't know. I guess if you guys are listening, let us know. I kind of liked that we didn't look it up because if we knew that there was going to be a part four, then we wouldn't, like all of the stakes wouldn't be as high.
Yeah.
The same as John Wick. We didn't know that there was going to be another John Wick movie. Hi, spoiler, if you haven't watched John Wick, you know, giddy up. You're in for a wild ride if you haven't seen it. But wow, like, you know, even with John Wick, like if we had known that there was going to be another John Wick fourth movie, the tensions wouldn't have been as high. The same with La Casa de Papel.
Yeah.
Wow. But man, that really, like, seeing Nairobi die and the fact that she was baited with a child, because it's one of those things, intellectually, you know, ooh, they're taking advantage of me. And, you know, Nairobi was also saying that to Monica. She was painfully aware of the fact that she was being used, but she couldn't not let that take over her because she hadn't seen her son in years. Right? So she essentially heard the music and she had to dance.
Yeah.
Just to get one glimpse of her son. Yeah. How fucking sad was that?
Yeah. But I still think that's a random kid.
No, she heard the voice and she saw him. And for the sake of our one feeling that we share, let's believe that that was the actual son.
Yeah. But Alicia is so cunning.
Totally.
I would not put it past her to just get some random kid off the street and
let's
be like...
Let's talk about Alicia because we have a whole character of the Dali crew, Dali, that we need to talk about. I feel like we won't be able to get back to Alicia. She felt like super anime.
Yeah. The shooting angles were quite sharp and it was all just weird or with her on screen. Not weird, bad, just different.
Right? But like her love for like candies and how she was the dom in the situation.
Yeah.
It felt very anime to me. But anyway, she was very effective. And as much as it hurt, she did a very good job in that role.
Yeah, she seems quite thick-skinned. Nothing gets under her. She's not afraid to cross the line.
Oh, totally.
Mate, I don't even think the line exists with her.
No.
Because
it's all squiggly lines.
She orchestrated this whole thing. And the fact that she called it a bomb... She wanted to turn the Dalis from to turn the public Dali. Opinion of the Dalis to Dali. Something different.
And you know what? That's exactly it. If you're going to bring back La Casa de Papel, then bring characters that are similar, but you know, there's a line of morality that they're like, fuck that shit. I am going past that because I have a goal and these guys have done it once. Fool me once, shame on me. Mm. Fool me twice, shame on your motherfucking ancestry.
Yeah, for sure.
Just go in. All guns blazing. One of the most exciting series we have ever come across in a long time.
I cannot fault that one iota.
Right?
Yeah.
Count all the pennies because they are dropping.
It's quite well written. And the fact that we have Alicia, who's a classmate to Raquel, and they know each other, but she still managed to get under Raquel's skin quite easily.
Yeah.
And to the point I was like, okay, so what is exactly Lisbon, aka Raquel, bringing to this storyline? Other than being a chain and ball to the professor.
But she did succumb to the charms of El Profesor. She probably could have bested him, but she chose not to. But let's talk about, I guess, the main sort of spotlight for part three, the catalyst of what, you know, catapults the gang back together.
Rio
de Janeiro.
Oh, Rio. He's just this dumb kid in love.
But I forgot he was 22. It makes sense now.
Mm. Well, yeah, they had to hire 16 Pakistani developers to do what Rio did.
I think it was more than 16, but essentially they needed a whole team.
They needed a team.
I think that was quite nice because that exemplified how smart and how talented he was.
Yeah, it does. And
sorry, my Swahili tongue came out just then.
What?
Talented.
Who says talented?
We didn't have many Kenyan listeners, but they're flocking. Let's wait for them. They're running towards this podcast right now. But Rio, I don't know, would you say that he had any character development? And if he did, what? What?
Yes, he did have character development. So in part one, part two of the show, he's the same guy, young, not really experienced much with love. He's a puppy dog following Tokyo's beck and call.
Which he mentioned, yes.
And now that he's gone through some shit in his life and he actually has now scars,
yeah,
he can actually now decide, he can actually look back on his life and say, wow, I've been such an idiot.
It took, I don't know, let's just say, because by the point that everyone was back in Palawan, it was like 17 days, right? So let's just say it took him a couple of months, right? It took him a couple of months or a couple of weeks for him to open his eyes that Tokyo is trash. Man, and that's sad.
Man, yeah.
Because I don't think he would have opened his eyes.
No, he wouldn't have. Because he said that he spent 3 days alone after Tokyo had left, and it was crazy for him.
Yeah.
But having removed himself from that situation, not having removed himself, but being tortured, being locked in a small-ass room.
Shit's about to get real.
Yeah, he's like, fire up, man. I'm not going to be this. This is not a way to live. He's not that kind of person that Tokyo wants, and he will never be that.
Yeah. But it's like, it was things that were so glaringly obvious to us, but he just had to, you know, sometimes when you have that really good friend and they keep dating like trash people and it doesn't really matter what you say. And it gets to a point where you don't even say anything anymore because they're not listening, because they need to understand that themselves.
Mm.
And Rio was that person. You're like shaking him, being like, dude, yeah, wake up.
But at least he did cross that line. I do agree with Denver that his timing was off and his timing of breaking up with Tokyo was crappy.
Yeah. Tokyo shouldn't have. Yeah,
hold that shit for until that. Hold that shit until after you've escaped.
He had an awakening.
Yeah.
And he needed to share it. But yeah, Denver was spot on. And nice segue.
Hmm.
And Denver.
Wanan.
Or Denver. Because that's who we're going to, Denver and Monica.
And Cincinnati.
Oh, wow. And Stockholm.
Stockholm, yeah. I'll just
can
put
I just
in
say that is the perfect name for her? In a sad, true way.
Yeah.
Right?
Stockholm syndrome.
So let's talk about, so the way that we find them is they're in Thailand.
Yep.
living their best life.
They got married.
The kid is growing up. Monica looks great. She is radiant. She is happy. You know, life suits her, right? I do want to talk about Monica, but let's go to Denver first.
Denver is a completely different person from what we met in the first two parts.
Because he has something to lose now.
Yeah, he has a kid now, and he's taking up this role quite strongly. And I think his interaction with Bogota kind of skews his perception of what he has to be.
I fucking love Bogota.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we'll leave him to
you
the side.
See, yeah. You can see the turmoil and him trying to justify or trying to battle with what he should do and how he can respond to either a hostage being not responding to the instructions or so he's not gone through much to me in terms of character development because, you got a son then.
No.
Mate, that's not enough.
If you rewind like to 20 seconds before that, you mentioned that he's gone through so much.
Did I?
Did we? Do we exist? Are we just floating through an alternate universe? Yes, sir, you did. In any case, Denver has one of the most character development from part two to part three. Tokyo hasn't changed at all. Denver has had to grow up a lot. And then, again, we talked about the women being easily triggered. I think it was dead wrong. I don't know why they chose to take a stance, whether it was the writers or the actresses, to be like, oh, you're so misogynistic. That's dead wrong. Because if you have something to lose, it makes sense. And later on in the series, Denver was saying the same thing to Monica.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had something to go home to, I would be more cautious. Now that you're here, just like my father,
I will jump in front of the bullets to save you. I have something to protect. Yeah.
I will jump in and save you.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the delicious morsel. Have you ever heard of a build-up?
I was just saying it better. It's all right.
I think you're just used to finishing.
Just following with the boom, boom, ciao format.
Right? Actually, let's go back to that for a second, because Palermo was saying that the public toilets are specifically designed for men and men to love each other. Did you forget that?
He was saying
that the public toilets for women were just used for proper functions. But he said public restrooms, and he used other examples, but I just remember him talking about public restrooms being for men to relieve each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure what restrooms is going to.
Is that why every time we go out, you need to use a public restroom and not ours?
Yeah, have you seen we use the bathroom here?
Be like, babe, I got to go across the road.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a weird way to find out, but we're not conventional people, so I didn't expect it any other way.
Oh, it's better than those YouTube videos. Oh, I'm coming out.
So, wow.
Might as well just slip it in there.
I said I knew your web history, but apparently you found a new level to hide from me. So there you go. Hi guys. Welcome. Welcome to our unraveling. Front seats, you. Let's continue. Anything else you want to say about Rio and Stockholm?
No.
Let's talk about another OG. Helsinki.
Yeah.
So we leave him at a time where his buddy, was it his brother or his buddy? Oslo.
Buddy.
So it wasn't his lover.
If it was his brother, then that would have been really weird. So it was his lover? Yeah. They were lovers.
Okay. Good on you. I don't think I picked that up.
Well, I'm just assuming they were lovers.
See, you're giving me more of a inkling of your searches now.
Well, when you see Helsinki and Oslo on my history browser, don't think that I'm trying to plan a trip for us.
You're Helsinki-ing my heart right now. But yeah, let's talk about him because he is that teddy bear. And, you know, Nairobi spends so much time with him. Oh, you know what? I'm getting flashbacks to the ending now. And now I'm getting really upset. But, you know, Nairobi and Helsinki had a very close relationship.
Yeah.
To the point where Nairobi had started to fall for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who wouldn't? Those dreamy eyes and that big beard. Let's ignore the fact that when they were doing surgery on Rio, like Nairobi's mask was like too big for her face, but Helsinki was barely covering his beard. We can be serious sometimes, but you know, it all starts to fall apart either way or another. But yes, let's talk about Helsinki because he's gone through a lot.
Man, he's lost so many people in this.
Yeah.
Man, he's had a tough time.
He has had a tough time and he fell for Palermo. Yeah. And that was to his undoing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right? Even though Palermo hurts people because he's hurt.
Hmm.
But, you know, that's a story for
another
day.
And it's really
day.
Good that actually Nairobi called her out on him on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad. But we do stand ourselves a strong Helsinki in the four-year reference household.
Mm. He's quite likable.
Man,
he's
that
little
be,
gentle teddy bear.
But he would be torn apart now that we know that there's a part four.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect from him now because he's an OG.
I think he might be cut off and devoid of any emotion now, which will be sad.
Probably. Or just break loose because they've gone to DEFCON 2 and...
I want to break free.
Okay.
Because he's a queen. We love all the queens.
Yeah, I think he'll just go on a rampage because that's the current level they are on.
Yeah, because was it Palermo that was saying DEFCON 2?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Intense. So let's talk about a new addition, Bogota from Colombia. Well, the city.
I was like, what?
I'm sorry. I was feeling my Pablo Escobar and my Pedro Pascal vibes, okay?
So he's this, they say that he's the best welder out there. And yeah. He's got 7 kids.
I really like that. You know what? Well, maybe I'm just used to the bros and I'm used to that sort of talk, but I thought that was quite funny. And then Nairobi got offended. But then again, you know, she has her own frame of reference, if you'll pardon the reference. And, you know, cause she's got her own kid as well. It's a sensitive topic for her. I don't think like Bogota was being malicious in, you know, casually talking about his 7 kids.
No, he wasn't.
But I really like him.
But he didn't change who he was when he had children. He just continued being.
Yeah, that was a weird statement.
Yeah, it was weird advice.
Denver, if you get high on a Wednesday and you have a kid, continue getting high on a Wednesday.
Otherwise you will resent your child.
So well, yeah, but you'll also be fucking addicted. Like what?
Oh my, oh, yeah. Man, you wonder how many people have friends like that. That would just give them crap advice.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even know any better.
But are they worse than the friends that keep asking for advice and not taking it?
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's why we're not the friendship podcast. We're either lovers or we're not, guys. Anyone else you want to cover?
We could talk about Marseille. He did a lot of the
footwork.
Oh, I actually
really liked him.
Yeah.
And I kept referring to him as a Nicolai Costa-Waldo. As if. You saw his jagged, like, jaw.
Yeah, I could see that.
Right?
Mm.
He was very pivotal.
Yeah. He seems like there's still a big role for him to play, especially in season 4.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. There's...
And he's way more courageous than El Profesor.
Yeah, he seems like he's this crazy killer that is just waiting for the opportune moment to swoop in and go on a rampage.
We haven't really done this before, but just to finish off before we go to For Your Reference, I want to talk about how part 3 ended and what we think or, you know, realistically what will happen in part 4.
Mm.
Because again, we did not expect this to be, you know, a continuing series. So just wow. Now in any sort of inference in this world, I think this is the closest semblance I can ever experience to blue balls. Because this part 3 was stroking me just fine.
Mm.
And I was getting there and I was starting to feel the eruption of the volcano and stop.
It's called edging now, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we've got the edge, guys. Do you want to get it? Because he's about to get it. But this show, man, it really fucked me up. It really fucked me up.
Yeah, it ended, I think, oh, wow. So the professor thinks Raquel Lisbon has been killed.
Yeah.
He knows Nairobi is dead.
Yeah.
And he's going to war. He's mm-hmm. had it. This is, I'm tired of this yep. shitty government. Let's go to war.
He said, this is not a robbery. This is not a fill in the blank. This is war. Parabellum.
But yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So here's the thing that I think. Going into the bank.
Yeah.
They were still innocent. Well, not innocent. They were still-
it was a political statement to get their friend free. Yes.
Exactly. Now they've actually killed people and public opinion definitely has to swing.
Oh yeah, totally.
So they've lost public opinion. I think the government would have now a higher mandate to just get in there.
Yeah, they'll have to.
And now, because this is completely now different, I think more mm-hmm. military will be involved. They're going down. Everyone is going down. There's no coming back from this. Not one bit.
I do wonder what the next season will entail.
Their lines, you know, stealing is one thing. Killing military police and thinking that that'll be fine. Nah.
Yeah, because even through the earlier episodes of part three, it was made very clear that they weren't trying to kill anyone.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you back a creature up into a corner, they need to present their claws.
And claws they did present. That was a finest moment, though. I was like, yeah, do it.
I really thought it was all going to end in a bloodbath. I really did.
They had to pull back. Alicia's gotten what she wanted. She wanted this all along.
Oh, yeah. She is pivotal. She is absolutely motherfucking pivotal. Because when they were doing the misdirect to try and get El Profesor and Raquel, you know, off the trail of the police, She did not buy into the paranoia of, you know, them orchestrating that.
Yeah.
Because she was like, no, this is dead wrong because there's an echo.
Yeah, something's right? happening. Something's not right. Something's
I fucking love yeah. Alicia because, you know, even though she's going against our Dali, we still needed her because what's the point? What's the point of having a juicy story if you don't have a strong villain?
And at the end of this, though, I do want her to go down as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, totally. But then what's the point of having this series if you have an incompetent person like Raquel again? And we didn't even touch upon it. Her, if you've listened to our other episode of Money Heist, I talked about my qualm with Raquel. Every time it was go time, she had to put her hair into a bun. Fuck off. I feel like Netflix.
More obvious now.
I feel like Netflix has deliberately done this after listening to our small little quaint podcast.
Then I'll do close shots.
Despite me. Yes. And actually, when she was in the barn, when they were like the old man and the old lady had their guns on her, she was like, wait, wait, wait. And she wasn't grabbing anything else. She just tied her fucking hair up. Are you kidding me?
It's Rambo. It's go time.
Netflix, I take that as a direct insult on myself and mine household. How dare you?
Everyone has to have their go-to signature, mate.
The way the first time she tied her hair up in that caravan with El Profesor and you looked at me. Mm-hmm. If it had not been for almost 10 years, I would have thrown you off the balcony in that moment. Fucking hell.
Oh, the small masses I get.
Because you know what? It was such a small thing, but I'm just like, why did they pick up on that? Because they're really capitalizing on it.
Mm.
But anyway, anything else?
No. So my predictions for season 4 is... they go in, they kill everyone. The professor doesn't get captured. He runs away and lives off as a hermit somewhere.
Yes. So I do agree. El Profesor is going to retreat because he said it's war. So he's going to retreat for another day when he can come out and battle in full force. Tokyo is definitely going to survive because she's been the narrator for all Tokyo's of these series. Dying.
Tokyo's gone. Tokyo's not surviving.
Okay, we can talk about your feelings, but realistically, Tokyo is going to make it and you need to prepare yourself for that inevitability. Palermo will survive. Actually, I think everyone else will survive.
I reckon all of them die.
We didn't even get to talk about Arturo, but we've run out of time. Go back and listen to our other episode because we talked about Arturo quite a lot.
Arturo is great. He's a problem for both the good and the bad side.
Thank you. I actually wrote that down because that was very poignant. And opposite of poignant, he was the blunt scissors daddy, right? Because we love all our daddies in the 4-year reference household. But yes, they will retreat for another day. It would be interesting to see how far they take this. I don't know how much they can milk this into another season, though.
I think one more and that's it.
Yeah, but how? Because it's permeating off the after effects of part 3.
No, because it'll be completely different format from what we've seen in the past 3 seasons.
Yeah. Part of the problem they also have is with Bogota and
Marseille.
Thank you. We didn't really get to know them very much. We kind of got to know Bogota, but you know what I mean? Like, we didn't really get to understand who they were. So there's not really an emotional pull there. So if they were to kill like the core cast in part 3, we's about to fight, right? I want to take my earrings off and I want to meet you in the car park because we's about to have some problems. But yes, we are going for an all-out bloodbath. What I want to see, if anything, is El Profesor just letting go of any inhibitions, any sort of perfectionisms that he has, and just go out for blood. If not for Berlin, just go out for blood.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's going to try and get them out of the bank alive, which is not going to work. And people are going to die and he's just going to run off.
And that's why,
my prediction anyway.
And that's why, kids, you don't let OT narrate a story because hashtag everyone dies. Okay, so we've talked about what we predict the season to be. I just want to touch on this because it was quite prevalent as we were continuing our viewership of part 3. And that's the use of music and score.
Don't even get me started.
Okay. Bye, guys. No, please come back. Please come back. We need the listens. All right. Do you want me to start then?
Yes, please.
Have you found your faculties? You're still looking for them?
Still looking.
Okay. We didn't really touch upon this in our Black Mirror episode. And I kind of wanted to stay away from, you know, Netflix picking up shows and remorphing them into a watered down version of what we know and love. But we definitely have to mention it in La Casa de Papel because I feel like it was hindered by its use of music. It might not be as jarring to our fellow viewers that listen to it in the dub version, but we were listening to subs. So it was full romantic in our corazón and it was in our ears. Escuche. Means listen, right? And we were feeling it. And, you know, all of our nerves were pulsating and we were feeling all the romance. And then out of nowhere, they'll start playing all these English songs.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'll take back my change, please. I'm not a fan. It really, and it was incessant is the best word to describe it. I don't know why.
There's
why?
A lot more use of English music in this than part 1 and part 2 had as scores in their entirety.
Yes, exactly. And correct me if I'm wrong. Come and fight me in our Twitter mentions. But part 1 and part 2, it really, you know, the predominant recurring theme was Bella Ciao. And that was perfect. And it was the crescendo that we mentioned in our first episode of Money Heist. And the fact that they continued to add more songs to part 3, it really clouded and it dampened on the significance and the build-up of Bella Ciao, well, as well as Maria, My Life, My Love.
And I guess it's not even more, to me, it's not even more towards diluting the significance of Bella Ciao or even Maria. It's more to do being taken out of an atmosphere where you're engorged or enthralled in this environment where they're speaking Spanish, you're reading, and then there's incessant background music being played in English of alternate rock or whatever the fuck that genre
was. We're choosing to be ignorant. We're choosing not to look it up. But if you guys have watched it, or you can look it up, but we were not a fan.
Yeah, that just, it just...
There's a time and place.
Yeah. It wasn't done well. It didn't even make sense most of the time.
La Casa de Papel. Oh, fuck. I will take the tall show tea. It's okay. I will continue. La Casa de Papel was, you know, it's one of those masterpieces of a show that minds its own business, that creates a world that you can immerse yourself. And when they start to, you know, embed these English random sort of songs, I would say it dilutes the narrative.
It does.
Because the Maria, my life, my love, you know, paraphrasing the song, it was literally talking about going out, getting shot by bullets and not being able to come home to you.
Hmm.
That was fucked up. But you know what? Between both of those scenes, there were these two English songs. And I'm like, really? Is that what you want? Like, no, there are other ways to demonstrate light and shade, which part one and part two definitely did. Hi, Netflix. I know we're best friends, but, you know, like a good friend, I need to pull you up on your shit. That was dead wrong.
Yeah. And I guess it's more just to pander to the American audience. I'm sorry to say this, but I think in the English version, it would probably go better with it. It just felt completely out of place and wrong in the Spanish version, which is what
I completely agree. And, you know, if any of you are Black Mirror fans, hi, listen to our Black Mirror episode. But if you've watched Black Mirror, surely you could also agree that there was a decline in unique concepts for Black Mirror. Once Netflix picked up Black Mirror, it started to become drowned out instead of being the pioneering show and concept that it was. But let's leave it. I think we've made our point quite clear.
Yeah.
To everyone. And we are lovingly aware that a bulk of our listeners are American. So, hello. Is that how they, how do they say? Howdy.
I don't know.
We've lost them all. But unlike Rose, we will never let go of you guys in the Titanic, okay? But yes, it's just something that we definitely need to point it out, because it was hard for us to enjoy part three.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing
And don't
about-
make us wait 2 years for the part four, okay?
You know what? One more thing is, when you get to watch this foreign movies shows is that you get to experience the culture.
Yeah, totally.
And once you take that away, it takes something off the show, right?
Yeah, and it's just like, for any persons of color or POCs, it's like when your immigrant parents try and speak English and you're like, that's not how it works.
Imagine watching Gomorrah and then they start throwing a Taylor Swift song on top of that. You're like, nah, man, not going to work.
Okay, so now we go into the part called For Your Reference. This is our second time doing La Casa de Papel, otherwise known as Money Heist. OT, do you remember what you referenced?
No, what did I mean?
Prison Break. Ooh. La Casa de Prison Break.
I would stick with that. It's amazing. Just watch it. I could draw parallels between Schofield and the professor for days.
And you did in this episode. Would you add anything else? Would you reaffirm it? Well, you did reaffirm it. Yeah. Would you add anything else?
No, not really. Not really.
Cool. I actually referenced Dirty Money, which is more like a documentary type style. And it is on Netflix, guys. So it is quite convenient. It covers Volkswagen, which is very disturbing. There were some points that I couldn't even watch. And then Shkreli, the drug man with Wu-Tang.
Man, yeah.
Yes. And Canada, and it's maple syrup. I know we have some Canadian listeners. I would love to hear your hot takes on the maple syrup reserve. Wow. We love you guys. I don't know how you say hello in Canadian. Hello.
Add anything or that's it?
I would add Gamora, because if you're listening to our second installment of La Casa de Papel, I will take you guys as quite ardent and loyal listeners to For Your Reference. And we would definitely cover Gamora, which is an Italian series, more about like the drug sort of Italian mafia. So you should definitely check that out, because we will eventually cover that show.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it, guys. We made it. Some of us probably didn't make it out alive out of the heist, but make sure you strap yourself in, you retool, you reload, because we will see you again when part four comes out of La Casa de Papel. On Twitter and Instagram, we're For Your Ref Pod. If you want to send us an email,
it's hello at fyrpodcast.com.
We appreciate you guys so much more. If this time isn't enough for you, make sure you follow or subscribe on your respective podcast mediums and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you care enough.
See ya.
Bye.